You know, when I was about 10 years old, I hated all girls and didn't want anything to do with a single one of them. Of course, I was secretly in love with one little girl, and I often had a Saturday afternoon rendezvous with her. Now, I wouldn't admit this to anyone, but I could hardly wait to go to the movies on Saturday afternoon just to have a chance to see her on the screen. Well, that little girl, as you may have guessed by now, was Margaret O'Brien, and I guess a million other little boys, and probably 50 million adults, too, were in love with this gal. Well, my goodness, it's Saturday afternoon all over again, and can you believe this? Sitting with me before our microphones is my 1944 Miss Dreamboat, Margaret O'Brien. Margaret, welcome to Those Were the Days.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
Say, what are you doing in town now?
Well, actually, I'm on a tour for Q-tips cotton swabs, and I'm telling people how to put on Q-tips with eye makeup. Eye makeup with Q-tips. And I've learned most of it from the studio makeup men, you know, at the studio, who use Q-tips to put on all the actresses' eye makeup and to kind of give them that smoky look and not the harsh lines that they used to use in the older days.
That's what's in today, the smoky look.
That's what's
look,
in
right?
today, not the harsh look and the made-up look that they did in the 40s.
Well, now, Q-tips, most people associate Q-tips with babies.
Babies, right. But it can be used for so many different things, like painting and taking off your nail polish. And if you're gardening and you get, you know, stains on your hands and you can't get it off with soap, you can dip a Q-tips cotton swab in peroxide and take off the stain. And there's many, many uses.
You know what? I use Q-tips almost every day because I have a couple of tape recorders and I'm always using it
It's great for cleaning the heads. Right, yeah. Right. So there are many uses and it's a really wonderful product. And I'm going around the country showing people how to put on
good
makeup.
Well, you've been doing a few television things here in
Yes,
Chicago,
a lot of
too.
Television, yeah, so that good. People can see how
it's, a lot
it's applied.
Well, I'm very lucky today because I can see in person how you've used the Q-tips, and you've used them very well.
Thank you very much.
Did you use a lot, and I'll bridge the gap now, back to 1942, 43. Did you use a lot of makeup when you were in movies as a child star?
No, I really didn't use any. I just... kind of, they painted a couple of freckles on, and that was about it.
You mean those weren't your freckles?
No, not really.
I'm crushed. Here, all these years, I thought
you
those
thought
were
I
your
had
natural
a lot of freckles.
Freckles.
Well, that's what they do at the studios.
Well, let's see, you made your movie debut, well, around the time you were 4 years old, right?
That's right.
Did you make a film? Was your first film a government-sponsored film?
No, that came after. My first film was Journey for Margaret.
Journey for Margaret.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now, I checked an old... I don't want to... I keep talking about old stuff, you know. But this gal is... well, let's see. You were 4 years old in 1941, right?
No. You're a little wrong there. No. The Journey for Margaret wasn't made until about 1943.
44. Weren't you 44. With Mickey Rooney?
No, that was way before.
That's a myth, right?
Myth. I never made a movie with Mickey Rooney, no. That was much later.
Every reference book that I can find said that you made your movie debut in Babes on Broadway in 1941.
No.
Okay, all right. Well, we can figure out approximately how old you are. You're not really an old
not
gal.
Really that old,
No. All right, you made Journey for Margaret, and you had made something like 15 films.
Mm-hmm.
Right, by the time you were 10 years old.
Just about, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I want to just quickly mention a couple of those films so all of our listeners will conjure up some thoughts. And we can't show a film clip, but I think just the title of some of these films will really bring back some great memories. Journey for Margaret in 1942 with Robert Young.
No, 44.
44.
44.
All right.
You have to keep those years straight.
We're shaving every year we can.
At this point, yes.
Well, Thousands Cheer, Lost
Angel.
No, I
was never in Thousands Cheer. I was in Lost Angel.
Yeah. Madame Curie.
Right.
You know, now, Thousands Cheer was a film with a whole load of MGM stars.
Right. And I don't remember.
Maybe you didn't do something specifically
maybe
for
not.
It, but maybe they had an
I
outtake.
Don't really remember
yeah.
the film.
Madame Curie.
Right.
With Greer Garson and Walter Pidgeon. You worked with Orson Welles in Jane Eyre.
Yes.
And with Charles Laughton in The Canterville Ghost.
That's right, yes.
Well, we all remember, of course, Meet Me in St. Louis. and that fantastic Halloween sequence in there.
Right.
What did you think about that when you were filming that?
Oh, I loved doing that sequence. I thought it was a lot of fun.
That was
dressing up in the costumes and everything.
Did you have fun when you were making these pictures?
Oh, yes, I always did. I really enjoyed it, or I wouldn't have done it.
Good. How did they treat you? How did your fellow actors treat you?
Well, I was very lucky because most everyone I worked with was really awfully nice to me, and all the actors like children mm-hmm. very much. And so I must say that I was quite lucky.
Did you went to school
mm-hmm.
Around your film shooting schedule?
Well,
right?
No. The film shoots around your schooling. It's the opposite because the Board of Education was very, very strict, and mm-hmm. The studio had to bow to the teachers, uh-huh. so to speak. And if you didn't have A's or B's, the Board of Education would take you out of pictures.
Uh-huh.
So they came first.
You must have been a good student then, because you...
Well, you had to be, or you wouldn't be
making film. When did you go to school? Early in the morning or late in the afternoon?
No, you had to have 4 hours a day, and it was mm-hmm. spread over a period of time. You do a scene, and then you go back to school, and then you do a scene, and you go back to school. Well, and you kind of learn to work that way.
It must have been a little more difficult.
Not really. You were used to it. So, but then a teacher would be on the set with you at all times to see that you only worked also so many hours a day, because you could only work until 6 o'clock. And even if they wanted to go over, or you know, it would mean a lot of money to the studios to do another set. Uh-huh. The school teacher would take you away. So
well, that was
the studios kind of all hated school teachers, I think, but they were good for
well,
the
we
children.
Always all did, so that's no different. Than, you know.
Right.
Was this so-called MGM Little Red Schoolhouse a fictional thing, or was there really a schoolhouse on
there
the lot?
There was a schoolhouse on the lot. It wasn't uh-huh. red, but there was a schoolhouse on the lot, yes.
Now, you spent the major portion of your career as a child star with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Right. The only picture that I was loaned out was Fox. Fox for Jane Eyre.
For Jane Eyre, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about some of these films. You did the music for Millions with Jimmy Durante
yes.
and June Allison. Our Vines Have Tender Grapes with Edward G. Robinson.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Bad Bascom with Wallace Beery.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a guy was Wallace Beery?
He was the only one that was a little bit more difficult
he was.
To work with for children.
I see.
And sometimes he'd like to turn your back to the camera and little things like that. But he was about the only one that... The studio had trouble
uh-huh.
than anybody.
And he didn't like a child star then. He was
no.
afraid of the scene stealing.
That's right.
Well, now, everyone has always said that Margaret O'Brien was the greatest scene stealer of all time. But this was not an intentional thing.
No,
I
think children and dogs usually steal yeah. scenes anyway. And it was kind of a challenge because I would try to do it. And so would the other actor, which I think always makes for a good scene.
You were aware of trying to steal a
oh,
scene.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
yes.
Ah, you were right on as far as Hollywood mm-hmm. was concerned at the time. Well, no, you have said that you enjoyed making the movies and you liked mm-hmm. the Hollywood life. But what about your free time? Did you have so-called playmates that you would...
Oh,
you
yes,
would,
and most of my friends were not in pictures.
Uh-huh.
They were mm-hmm. just, you know, the little girl next door or, you know... somebody that went to another school, and none of my friends were in pictures, so I think it works out better that way.
Well, but what did you do as a youngster that the so-called average kid might have done? I mean, when I came home from school, I'd go out and play, you know.
That's what I do, too.
Did you?
Right.
I mean, did you actually have
oh,
time?
Oh, yes.
Well, how
certainly.
About your learning of the scripts and so forth, or was it your pretty quick study?
Well, it was a quick study,
uh-huh.
so it didn't... you know, take me all that long. And, you know, in pictures, you're shooting one scene at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a radio show was much more difficult because I was, you know, on the air for an hour and I had to go right through. Seeing they can shoot over. So it wasn't that big a problem in memorizing a
uh-huh.
picture because you don't memorize the whole picture at once. So I would have plenty of time. And, you know, I wouldn't always be working till 6 o'clock. A lot of times I'd be off, you know, early. And so I would be home around the same time that, you know, my friend mm-hmm. was home. Or
occasionally, for a short length of time, you were between pictures. But I know in 43 and 44, you were making 4 pictures or so a year.
Not really that many, no.
That was when they were released, maybe.
Maybe when
yeah,
they were released,
I see.
Yeah.
But
so, you see, you did have a lot of time
uh-huh.
off. really.
I'm happy to know
pictures.
That now.
Yes. No, you didn't just continue making.
But you weren't deprived of
it. No. No, you didn't make one continuous picture.
You said that you had done some radio work, and
yes.
Who will ever forget your confrontations or love affairs, if you will, with Charlie McCarthy?
Oh, yes. I did a lot of the Charlie McCarthy shows, and I enjoyed that very much.
Edgar Bergen had you on a number of times,
mm-hmm.
and also you did some things with Bing Crosby, and
yes.
you were on many of the dramatic programs,
Lux,
too.
Mm-hmm. Radio Theater, and I did a lot of those.
Now, you won an Oscar in 1944 as the Best Child Actress of the Year, the Outstanding Child Actress. Now, they didn't, in this case, they didn't elect or they didn't vote for someone, I don't think, as they do today.
I don't know how really it worked at that time. I did receive one, and it was a very nice thing, although I didn't really realize it at that time.
It's interesting to note that today, if someone receives an Oscar and they are perhaps not a very well-established star, mm-hmm. the Oscar would really do a great service for them, aside from the honor. It would really help them.
Well, I think it can help and it can hinder uh-huh. also. So it's really kind of hard to say.
What did it do to you?
Well, it didn't do anything to me because I, you know, as I say at that time,
you were
it
well
was
established
a special thing, and
right.
I just, you uh-huh. know, made other pictures. But I think it can hinder a little bit today.
You think it can hinder today?
Or it can work for you. It depends. It's a difficult thing to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, for each individual.
You could turn on your tears almost as though someone tapped a switch, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, it was.
Well, you quivered. That lower lip quivered a lot, and the tears would run down in so many of the great pictures. And, you know, we're lucky today to have television
mm-hmm.
Because the films are on TV all the time. And instead of having just a single memory of a lost angel, for mm-hmm. example, from 1944 and never to see it again except in some obscure theater for a revival, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
you can see it regularly on TV or even somewhere along the line there's a radio version of Lost Angel and we play that too now and then.
Oh, really?
And now at the time, you were a big established child star in mm-hmm. Hollywood. You were making numerous public appearances, weren't you?
Yes, my mother tried to keep, you know, the public appearances
mm-hmm.
down quite a bit
mm-hmm.
because that was really harder. That was something I didn't enjoy all that much. I loved going to studio and working, but I didn't uh-huh. really like going, you know, to luncheons or, you know, making appearances. That's hard for a child.
Now, I have read, and of course it's difficult when you dig into old movie mm-hmm. magazines, you know, and there's a story. And I read a story about you the other day. I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to get a lot of information about Margaret O'Brien. And I got a fantastic amount of information about the fellow who wrote the story.
Oh.
But there was nothing in the art. It was all a picture about you and all of this. But there was no information about Margaret O'Brien on there, except that you had a dog called Toto,
right.
Named after the Wizard of Oz.
Which wasn't true.
You didn't have the dog.
Don't believe what you read in movie magazines. No, I didn't have a dog by that name. I had lots of dogs, but not by that name.
But not by that name.
No.
You had a dog named Lassie?
I did have a dog, one of Lassie's puppies.
Oh.
But it was named Lad.
Well, I thought Lassie was a male anyway.
Lassie was. Mine was a female, and I named him her Lad.
It gets complicated.
It does get complicated.
Well, anyway, I want to get to that movie magazine that I picked up. Mm-hmm. It was from 44, 45. And in that magazine, your mother said that you were a normal little girl, that you accepted your Hollywood way of life as a natural one, and that you didn't think you were different from other little girls your age.
That's true.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. I suppose because you had really been born right into this acting business.
Yes, that I didn't.
You didn't know
really
anything else.
Notice a
uh-huh.
big change or change in my life type of thing. Mm-hmm. So no, it was. I enjoyed it.
Well, no. As far as an allowance was concerned, I know that the Coogan Law and all of this business
yes.
where they put your money that you would earn
right.
from filmmaking into a trust fund to mature sometime along the line.
Yeah.
But what kind of spending money did you have?
Oh, gee, I really forget. I think I had an allowance like every child
uh-huh.
had. more or less around the same. I don't really remember exactly what it was.
Would you go to the commissary and blow yourself to a banana split once in a while?
Oh, yes. Yes, I would.
Well, what do you, aside from the tour for Q-tips, what else are you doing these days?
Oh, well, I made, as I said, two pictures in Peru that are Edgar Allan Poe stories. And then when I go back, I'm probably going to be making a picture in Mexico. And that, I believe, William Holden is going to be the star in the picture.
You have a, can you tell us a title?
No, they don't have a title for it yet. But the producer is Marty Rackin, and it's a Western.
Oh, fine.
So that should be fun.
Well, I suppose I have one last question for you. And I suppose you've been asked this a thousand times, but I hope you won't mind answering it for us. All of us out in radio land. What was Butch Jenkins really like?
Oh, he was a tomboy. Like all boys, I guess. He was a regular little tomboy. Like he came across in the movies.
There were so many films with you and Butch Jenkins in there.
Yes.
And I alternately was crazy about Butch Jenkins, and I hated him because he would pick on you in the movies, and I hated him. And then when he would be nice to you, then, you know, it was great, and I could identify with Butch Jenkins.
I sort of picked on him at times in the movies, too, so I guess we were even.
Margaret O'Brien, it's been a great treat for us to talk with you on Those Were the Days.
Thank you.
And we're very happy that, that you spent a little time with us, and we'll take a Q-tip from you.
Very good.
And look for your upcoming films. And
thank you.
We'll spot you whenever we can, and... thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much. It was nice being here.